Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to On the Dean's List, a podcast that celebrates the art of conversation with your host, Dean Latticer.
Thank you, George. Good morning, everybody. You are on the Dean's List. I'm your host, Dean Latticer, where we celebrate the art of conversation each and every week. We bring an expert in their field. We bring an interesting personality, a leader, a guru, or just somebody who's just a lot of fun to have on the show. And I think in today's case, we got a little bit of everything. Dear friend of the On the Dean's List, Raj Sillars, has stopped by today to discuss the tools and techniques of market hacking for business. Now, market hacking is a process to develop new markets for established business using creativity, digital marketing technique, and analysis. And we're going to talk a little bit later about a two-hour seminar devoted specifically to market hacking in your business. But why should I front sell this? Let's get the man in here himself. Good morning, Raj. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Wonderful to be here. Thanks, Dean.
Oh, you're welcome. This is going to be a lot of fun. And one of the things I know that you are committed as an entrepreneur, as a communications professional, as an author, you're committed to helping people to grow their business. And so market hacking is kind of corralling a lot of your knowledge and your wisdom and helping people to do the things in order. This is a very competitive business place we're in these days. Talk a little bit about, give us a little bit of the backstory behind market hacking.
Sure.
And help us to understand the value of this to us.
Sure. Well, during the summer last year, the team came together and we started talking about what is it that, you know, we're finding out on the street. What are the issues with businesses? Why aren't they taking advantage of the digital technology that's available to them? It's, you know, not a really high bar to get in at least. And, of course, at the same time, there's danger in that. People will jump in and not do it very well and then jump out thinking, oh, this is awful, or somebody didn't do a good job for them. That can all happen. But the reality is digital marketing really is a benefit to most businesses. And so we've tried to figure out what was the problem. And we really came down to the idea of fear. It was all about fear. And so we went through the process to, okay, what are the things that we can do that work well? And we went through our process, and it's basically we went through the market hacking process and have gone through the market hacking process a number of times, which ultimately is what we came up with, which obviously ended up being a scary name for some, and we're like, wait a minute, you know, honestly, we're not talking about hacking in a negative way. It's really about a creative process to pull different ideas together to open up a new market for your business. And market hacking was a great headline. But there's a lot more than that. And as we have often talked about, it's, you know, about figuring out the three things that most of our clients need, which is to develop awareness for the product, drive more traffic to their website, and then ultimately after we drive that traffic, improving the conversions or sales. And how do we do that? What is the process? And we'd like to, start off by separating the company from their competition, what makes them different, and that's the combination code. And then, again, we apply those techniques using many different methods that we have developed over the years. And we, depending on the client, we apply different methods, but ultimately we're coming down to market hacking, opening up new markets. So that's the long short.
I have 30 minutes to fill. I like the long version on some of this stuff. And I think one of the things that's important about it is that market hacking has its core in today's exciting startups. We use examples like Uber, Dropbox,
right,
Airbnb, and such. And they called it growth hacking because they had nothing to lose, everything to gain. Talk about the wisdom that we learned from them and how,
yeah,
because again, the thing about market hacking, which I think is critical, is that a lot of these startups, you talk about to taxi care drivers, or you talk to online storage, you know, cloud storage companies, or you talk to hotels and bed and breakfasts. I mean, these companies have disrupted their models and powerfully
opened up new opportunities.
So talk about that.
Yeah, and that's an excellent question and point, Dean. The growth hacking is, again, a startup model where, you know, a company doesn't have much time nor money, but they need to get a lot of subscribers and new clients quickly. And growth hacking really is about using code and coming up with a unique way to code and market. And it's a combination of those worlds. And we came up with the idea of market hacking for established businesses mostly because, you know, a lot of these companies feel like, wow, you know, these young, there's this entrepreneurial spirit, especially here in Detroit, there's a lot of fun stuff going on, and a lot of these companies are like, wow, I want to be a part of that, but I'm not a startup. I'm pretty established. I've been around for a year, two, or three, or 20, and they want to get involved in that mindset. And a lot of market hacking truly is switching that mindset, and it's the same thing for growth hacking. Growth hacking really is a mindset, and so is market hacking. And so we go in and we support the company to say, look, let's really get our minds around the idea that, yes, these young entrepreneurs are nipping at your heels using these new technologies. Why don't you fight back in a way? Not, you don't necessarily have to go one for one or directly against them, but do what they're doing. Open up a new market. And the advantage you have over these young companies is that you already have a base. You have a whole list of customers, hopefully. You have a budget, and you have time because you have those things. And so because you have that, we can come together and make a more complex plan, not necessarily a quick hack, which is what growth hacking is more about, finding that one quick hack that's really going to take them up. Rather, we can find a hack that's really a creative methodology and in using the same techniques they do in growth hacking, such as analysis, seeing what works and what does not, and then apply those methods to the growth of your company. And that's the neat thing about digital, is that we can apply the lessons we learn relatively quickly. If you advertise in a magazine, you know, you're gonna probably advertise using the same ad, you know, for months and months. And if it doesn't work, you've spent a lot of money. Well, in digital marketing, we can correct that in weeks. I mean, it all just depends on your budget and how much data we have. But, obviously the more you put into it, the quicker we can figure out what works and what does not. And we can ultimately save you a lot more money, especially when we find that right combination. And that's often a keyword. What is the right combination of keywords and ads and landing pages? And when we find the combination, then we can apply it to that more expensive media campaign, such as maybe a trade magazine that would go directly to the customers that you're looking for on a larger scale or a different scale.
I think you make an important point here is, one, the mindset idea, and the two, the experience that an established business has. They have experience, they have customers, they have budget, they have track record. Oftentimes, the startups, the reason why they go all in is they have nothing to lose. And
right.
Yet, I think one of the things that some business owners, especially, I have to say, because I am a baby boomer, anybody over 53 is a baby boomer, I think that sometimes there's cold feet or hesitancy to see there because they see the... You know, they see kids on their devices rather than watching the highway go by, or they say that this is a trend. They lived through CB radios in the 1970s, and that just isn't the case. I think a lot of the people over the age of 50 need to embrace this, especially business owners, marketing directors, and a lot of people who make these decisions need to say, not only is this here to stay, this has become the dominant chord in this symphony.
Well, you know, the internet is not a fad. You know, and the reality is, yes, some things will change. Some parts of the internet, such as, you know, now we're more mobile versus sitting at our desktops or laptops. And, you know, the reality is 2016 is going to be a huge change for us. I just wrote a post a few days ago about how I just asked people, say, remember where you are now, because your world is about to change in a big, big way. And I actually had a great meeting with a client yesterday who is involved in that world. And that's really that three-dimensional world.
Don't tease us. What's the changes you see coming?
So definitely. Well, for example, I talk to a lot of photographers, a lot of artists specifically, and one of the things that we have now is obviously the web page, and that's where you share your portfolio. In the near future, you're not going to send them to your web page. You're going to send them to your web gallery, virtual, so people can walk around your gallery in their minds and, through goggles, really, and maybe someday with their mind, you know, a little implant somewhere that scares everybody, I'm sure, but that reality could be there. But right now we have goggles, and we can feel like we're just looking around, and we can walk around and look at the gallery at our own pace. And that's the difference. And that's going to become very, very commonplace. It's actually so commonplace. Actually, yesterday, I woke up to an ad on my Facebook page from General Motors. And I clicked on it, and I pulled up, and it was the interior of one of their new trucks. And as I moved my phone, so did the interior, and I could look around just like I was looking in the car, like I was sitting in the car. And if I just use a simple new the cardboard Google, you know, you could use that and just look, and you'd feel like you're sitting in the car. So the technology is here. The advertisers are already using it to create that experience. And so what is going to happen more and more as advertising is going to become more and more of an experience. And again, the relationship, the relationships we started to develop within social media will continue to develop at a greater, in a different way, but in a more concrete way in the future, because not only will we be connecting with them, but we'll be really engaging with people in a new way that will make them hopefully more loyal, allow them to experience our products and services, especially if they're brand new. And, wow, you know, the opportunities to find new customers continues to increase daily, and it's just amazing. I mean, the way you can connect with people in ways you could not 10, 15 years ago at all. 2015 was the year of streaming video, and we all of a sudden were able to connect and share our information behind the scenes of our locations, behind the scenes of our launch, sharing what's going on in our company so people could see, and live, and not only live showing it, but people could ask questions using a Periscope or a Meerkat or even host a question and answer or a press conference with blab.im. So there's so many different ways we can connect now. And that can certainly get confusing, and that's where just kind of sitting down and developing that plan is really important. And that's also where the market hacking comes in, is because it allows us to test, see what works, because not every social and new opportunity that is out there is going to work for you, but we can test them, and we can hack together in a sense is one way. That sounds awful, doesn't it? But we can put together a really nice plan that will really take you where you want to go. And you can even do it on your own if you have that time and energy.
I want to touch on time and energy when we come back. Just got to quickly bring everybody up to speed. Our guest this morning, dear friend Raj Sillers, talking about market hacking, growing your business, tools and techniques. If you want to join in the conversation and you're listening live, on the show page, if you scroll down, there is Flash Chat there where you can, if you've got a question for Raj or a comment, I'll ask it for him. Or if you have Skype, I see here on the show page that if you are if you have a Skype account, you can also call in to the show now. So if you have those things going for you, we'd welcome any ideas from the audience, comments or questions. And the other thing I want to make sure, and we'll give all the details closer to the close, one of the things that you are doing is you've put together a two-hour session devoted specifically to not only creating that powerful mindset for people, but you've also created ideas where we're going to help people to embrace these principles, put them into their business, and really stand toe-to-toe. You mentioned the technology that a General Motors uses. How about the technology that a regional business or a bold entrepreneur, these things are actually quite accessible too.
very accessible. And that's part of the problem, is that a lot of these technologies are very accessible, but there's so many of them, people don't know where to start and how to develop that plan. And so we go through that process.
Where do you start? That's a key question.
Okay, so excellent, Dean. And so start off with, first of all, how are you going to separate yourself from the competition? Why are you different? And we go through that process, and we call that the combination code. Once you've figured that part out, because you need to bring something new to the marketplace, because it used to be that, hey, you just had, you know, your city, your town, and you promoted yourself there. But now you have a region, the country, if not the world, available to you to connect with new customers. And so you can actually narrow down that niche a lot further and become that expert and become the go-to company for what it is that you offer, whether it's a product or service.
That's important, because what happens is, so often as businesses and as practitioners, we've been commoditized. So
yes.
I can't overplay the importance of what you just said, is that ability to just no longer be a commodity, that you're an ice cream store, a photographer, that you do taxes or you wash windows, and got that ability to really build on your expertise. I mean, it's, for years you and I've heard people say, oh, it's quality, that's the difference. Well, no, quality is almost, people roll their eyes when they hear that anymore.
That they have the best service, I mean, all those things. You know, if you're depending on saying you have the best service as your marketing, you've got a problem. You know, that's like saying I'm the coolest guy in town. I can't say that. Only other people can say that.
Or
you can't even say it, Dean. I can't even say it. But, you know, it's just an example.
But when somebody tells you, hey, you know, did you realize this was cool? It's like, oh, interesting.
Absolutely.
And I think that's important for people to know, is that
same
ability.
Service.
Yeah. That's a point, an important ability. And that's why I wanted to hit that. One of the other things about it, what do you say to, we're embracing digital tools. What do you say to that ad manager, that marketing guy, that entrepreneur who says, you know, Rosh, we're using direct mail. Our audience is more traditional. We're doing just fine. Thank you very much.
And I'm sure their business is slowly tapering off. And it may be just fine. There's nothing wrong with traditional if it's working for you. But the chances are it's not working as well as it did. And let me continue down that process, because I'm going to address that point exactly in a moment. Because, first of all, we separated ourselves, and we understand that it's not about service and our guarantee and our quality and all that. It's really something more concrete than that, that we can say we are different than. But then we have to say, okay, now who is that person that we're marketing to? What's the persona of that person? Who are they? Where do they live? How old are they? What's the demographics? What are their interests? What's their job title? And then we go through the process of saying, okay, now we need to do a combination marketing campaign. And that's what we're going to, that whole idea of, say, the direct mail. Then my question would be, okay, keep the direct mail. I would never say stop using direct mail if you're using direct mail. But what are you combining that with? Because when you combine different marketing techniques together, they are much more powerful, much stronger. Now, that combination, and maybe even a number of years ago, that combination would be the best would be, I'll use direct mail and I'll follow up with a phone call. That made that direct mail much more powerful. Well, today you have other options to combine with that that direct mail, such as email or an audience's campaign. For example, you send out a direct mail piece and then the people on Facebook see a similar message related to that. But only the people that you sent that direct mail piece to. So that's another way to back up or benefit and reinforce your message, because you really need to have people see that message over and over again for it to really click. So that's where combination marketing goes. And then we start talking about the process of course, you know, what is it that the that we need to address. Now, we talked about this earlier, awareness of your company or brand, traffic to the website or even to the front door of your business, and conversions. What marketing are we doing to address all three of those, or what tools are we using? And a lot of times people just focus on the branding, and nothing wrong with just the branding, but you probably also need to focus on the traffic drivers. And you also need to focus on the analysis. And usually some people only focus on the analysis and hope everything works out, you know, but they're not doing anything to drive the traffic or increase awareness. They just look at the bottom line and say it's not working. So that's not helping you either. But you do need to address all three of those. And also the fourth, which I like to call the bonus, is retention. How are you retaining people? How are you doing that? Are you using email to follow up with people? How are you communicating with the people that you already have as customers? Those are the most important people. And, you know, it took a lot of effort and money to get them. You know, don't take advantage of that fact that they're going to be there next week. They may not be. And so keeping up that communication, social media is an excellent way to develop a retention campaign. So it's not using social media to get customers. It's using social media to keep customers, which is, in many cases, much, much less expensive than trying to get a new one. Often, you know, 10, 15 times the cost to get a new customer than to keep a current one.
There's a common theme I hear throughout your sharing this morning and knowing the work that you do. It's called that kind of paradigm between testing and change. I want you to talk about how to test successfully, but not necessarily throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Sure. Well, one of the things we do, if we have an ad campaign of sorts, we test the ads, and we can run two or three ads at one time. Now, you can do that, too, in a magazine, but you have to have a lot of money. You know, you take one region here with one ad and another region here with another ad or every other customer. It costs more money to do that. So we can test at a smaller level and see which ad works better, which ad gets people's attention. And so we can test different ads and continuously through the process, keep trying to improve our ads. And then we also try to narrow down to find the most effective keywords or phrases or interests that the people that we are trying to attract. And then also the landing pages where people go to. We test those. We A-B test those pages. Which page converts more people? And we go all the way down through the funnel. Now, obviously, social media is a little bit different. We would test different ways to approach people and how people like to be engaged or followed up with. That's a little bit different type of testing. But, you know, there are many ways to go about it. Email, you can test two different emails. You can say you have 1,000 people in your email list. You can take 100 of them, send 50 of them one headline and 50 of them with another headline and see which one gets opened. And then, you keep drilling down and keep testing. And you never are satisfied because there's always something that's a little bit better, but there's also, you know, the world changes. People change. Tastes change. Styles change. So a landing page or a website that worked 3 years ago may not be as effective today because looks and styles have changed. So it's a never-ending process, but it's an efficient process compared to the guessing game of a lot of old school traditional media. And again, you know, the old school traditional media, yes, testing happened, but that was for people who had one heck of a lot of money to do those tests. And a lot of companies really don't have that option.
So now it's efficient. You're able to more take pulses than wholesale changes, or sit there and say, you know, this thing's run out of gas. We need to jazz it up a little bit instead. I think that's one of the things. I know one of our friends in the industry says that a lot of people throw out great marketing campaigns that still have a lot of life in them because the boss's wife got bored with them.
Right. Oh, that's true. And you know what? A lot of ads are out there based on committee. I mean, because everybody had their 2 cents worth, and at the end of the day, it turned out to be average because it didn't stick out. Everybody in the team had to have a point. Everybody on the board had an opinion, and at the end of the day, it was nothing because it didn't, you know, it didn't offend anyone. And sometimes if it doesn't offend anyone, and I don't mean that your ads need to offend people, but get people's attention or make people pause or laugh. If, you know, sometimes people don't get the joke. I don't get it. That's not funny to me. So it's not going to be right. Our opinions are the worst marketing tools we have. And we have to test and try different things and not pretend that we know what our customers want. I have had some incredible, incredible ideas, Dean, that have fallen flat on their face because, you know, the market I was going after really didn't connect to that idea the same way I did. But good thing I found that out, and good thing I was willing to say, oh, they really prefer this. And it's amazing how much of a big difference it can be. It can be a difference of 3 or 4 percentage points difference. And that 3 or 4 percentage points can mean a lot of money.
In the time remaining, I want to talk a little bit more about the seminar that's coming up. It'll be held on Thursday, February 11th from 9 o'clock to 11 a.m. It will be in Troy at the classroom at the offices for the Troy, Michigan Chamber of Commerce. That's just off of Big Beaver Road behind the landmark there. We've been using Zimagiano's Little Italy, 2255 Buttersfield. And if you know the area, it's kind of a horseshoe road that connects from Big Beaver all the way over to Crooks there. It's their new offices. They used to be a little north of there. But we're excited about that. And I want to encourage people, there is a link, mh.shrosh.com, where you can get a lot more details on it. Admission's just $25, which is a small investment, but we've been gracious enough to help early bird registrants to jump in and save a few shekels, 20% off the cost if you buy early there. Tell us a little bit more. I mean, you've given us a great preview already today, but in the next minute or so, teach us or give us the syllabus. Let us know.
Sure. Well, I'm giving you a syllabus of the types of things we've been talking about, combination code, developing a persona, combination marketing, developing awareness, traffic to the website, and conversions and retention. That can all get very complex, but it doesn't have to be complex. And by the end of the talk, people will have an actual plan. We're going to go through on how you can develop that plan, and that plan really can be very simple, can be really straightforward. It could also be really complex. I mean, it just depends on your needs. So I know we talked about a lot of different things here, but the reality is you'll discover that there are themes through each element. It's really the same themes, you know, of testing and analyzing and being creative. If you understand that, you know, let's try a creative idea, let's analyze the results. Ultimately, we're going to apply that to every single one of those elements, and we'll share how and the tools, and then again, ultimately, how to put a plan together.
I think the time spent will be time well spent. I encourage people to click over. There is that link on the show page, mh.rosh.com, and learn more details or register, sign up. There are a lot of seats still available, but that said, we've had a lot of buzz on this, and I know that the room is going to fill up. And if you're in charge of marketing for your own organization, if you head the team that does that, if you're a solopreneur, you need to take the time here to really invest in yourself. And I'll give you the final word, Rosh, and then we got to go.
Well, I think ultimately just hope people, you know, come and visit and hang out and learn something new and bring your questions. Bring your questions. There's a big part of it. You know, Your questions are probably the most important questions to you and the answers that apply to your business. And that's what's going to help you ultimately, is just having somebody there who's been there, done that, and can give you some guidance.
There's just one thing left to say. Rosh Sillars, once again, you are on the Dean's List. And that's where I'm going to have to leave it. Wow, half an hour goes fast. Thanks, Rosh, for joining us today. Again, mh.rosh.com is the landing page so you can learn more about this seminar. Special thanks to Rosh Sillars again. He always gives great content and information on this market hacking. And most importantly, we're thrilled to always have him as a contributor here on the Dean's List. Until next time, it's been This Time. I'm Dean Latticer. Thanks for joining us.